as we were singing the song before the communion, I got a little emotional. And I thought, uh-oh. And I remembered, right came to my mind, I saw myself standing in the pulpit in Mexicali. And down there, they want an hour at least of preaching. And I forgot when I went down there, that when I got there, I preached my first lesson. And they came up and said, "Hey, you shortchanged us. I forgot. They want at least an hour. So you're all week long preaching in a foreign land, speaking your second language, preaching in that second language for at least an hour every night, and it tends to wear you down. And I found out after I got home that when you get worn down, you tend to get emotional. And so they're singing the last song. I'm getting ready to go up and preach. And I'm just, you know, you just get seeing me just sitting there on that pew, just one more. So I get up and I'm standing up there, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm crying and I'm telling everybody, "Los amo tanto. I love you guys so much." And they're, "Sí, hermano, te amamos también." Everybody's crying, and it's just. So this is a beautiful weekend, but it is a grueling one. And as those tears were coming over those beautiful words of God's love, I said, "Okay, Daryl, let's just acknowledge what's going on here and get by that." I can hardly believe it seems like yesterday that Chad and I were at Starbucks talking about what the next series might be, and him saying, "You know, what do you think about a series on addiction?" And we talked about that, and one of the things that I want to mention as I get going tonight is that I'm happy that this series is entitled God's Solution to Addictive Behavior as opposed to Addiction. Because this theme title, to me, seems to be an open invitation to anyone to come and hear and learn from God how to live your life better than you may be living it right now. So I'm very happy and pleased about that. The lesson tonight, I like to think of it like a big grocery bag. And imagine that I have a grocery bag here, and we're putting all these real important staples of life into this bag. And all of these things are put in here, and the bag then is neatly folded and creased, and there you are. I like to think of this lesson as that bag. That this is what we've been talking about all week long. And everything that has been said fits into this bag. And I hope that you will agree with me that this title, in spite of the weakness of the deliverer, is one that will help us to really wrap things up in a very powerful way. Our text tonight for our sermon entitled, "If I Speak the Truth, Why Do You Not Believe Me?" is found in John chapter 8. And beginning at verse 39, the text says this. And this is Jesus in a confrontation with some of the Jews of his day. And it says here, as we pick up in the context, they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do." You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come forth from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. And I want you to stick in the back of your mind the fact that the word believe is extremely important to the conveyance of this message this evening. If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? What is truth? The most famous individual for asking this question is, of course, Pilate, as Jesus in John 18 stood before him at a trial. As things got going, so he's the most famous for asking that question. He is also the most famous for murdering an innocent man. And if you're going to do that, you're probably not wanting to really know what the truth is. He didn't stick around for the answer to the question because he didn't want to deal with it. Now, there's something about truth that needs to be clarified right here from the beginning. As depicted in our cartoon, we have two theaters and two possible movies that we could choose to go to. There is playing at theater number one an inconvenient truth. And indeed, truth can be inconvenient. Some truths hurt. We have a saying, truth hurts. The truth hurts, and we sometimes hurt each other with our tongue and using that phrase. But there are truths that hurt, that are inconvenient, that we don't want to deal with. And on the other hand, there are lies that are very comforting. And so the lady, the ticket taker in an inconvenient truth, she's kind of perplexed because nobody's coming. Everybody wants to hear that reassuring lie. Every addict knows what that's about. You see, truth is not necessarily a very enticing subject. Jesus, when he said the truth will make you free, he was right. Truth will make you free, but sometimes it makes you flee. Because it does hurt. And And people in addictive behaviors, for the most part, are hurting. I know this to be a fact. So, what is truth? Truth is very simple. It's not enticing. Sometimes we want to flee from it. It's hard to face. But truth is very simple. Now, there are truths that are not simple at all. But truth itself is very simple. It is accuracy of representation. In other words, truth is how things really are. Why do you think people run to one won't hurt? Who cares? I deserve it. Life's too hard without it. You don't understand. Why do you think people go there? Because the truth that underlies that, painful. And those truths sometimes are not real simple. But what we're talking about is things as they really are. And that is what we have been striving for this week, is to talk about things, truth, things as they really are. What does God really say? What is the real problem? What is the real root cause of the issues that we've been discussing? In contrast, it was cognitive therapist Aaron T. Beck who recognized the permission-giving belief at the point of succumbing to any of the addictive behavior to which people fall prey. At that moment, and again, if there's anybody in this room that has had problems with addictive behavior, you know what I'm saying. At that moment, the person does not believe the professional authority or people's personal experience. They don't believe it. The truth, things as they really are, they're right there. There are people that have studied, that are clinical psychologists or whatever we want to, profession we want to go to, but they're trained. They have some good information. There are people who can tell you what happened in their own lives. The truth is there. The Word of God supremely is there. But at that moment, and if it's a Christian, at that moment, doesn't believe anything anybody said here all weekend. At that moment. So the question is, why does the human mind affirm what is not true? What is it that allows an individual to, you have a person that knows certain things are true. Ask him later, he'll tell you. But in that moment, That person is saying that this is true when it's not true. Why do we do that? It's not a real complicated answer. You know why? Because we want something else to be true. We want it badly. We want it badly. Because if I have to face the real truth and act on the real truth, I don't get to escape. I don't get to feel better for a few minutes. So I don't want to hear that right now. You know, truth is one of the most important things in life. And we want it and we don't want it. Listen to what the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 30. In verse 9, he starts saying this. Now he says, for this is a rebellious people, false sons. Sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, you must not see. Translators provide the word visions. And to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear truth. We want you to leave us alone. In the big book of AA, Bill Wilson wrote with reference to alcoholics. He says, we are unable at certain times, get it? Okay, in that moment, at certain times, to bring into our consciousness with any or with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. End quote. Why? I mean, some of this suffering and humiliation is acute. I mean, if you ever had a reason to go to any of these meetings, it's interesting to go just to listen to people's stories. They'll amaze you. The depths to which people fall. But they can't remember with sufficient force the suffering they just went through. How come? Because they want the unreal to be real. So I'm going to forget about that. And I'm going to pick up. And that's not going to be in my mind. Okay. It's quite an insidious thing. So Jesus asked the question, if I tell you the truth, why? I mean, here's the Son of God, and he's perplexed. there's a time I was impressed by that passage where Jesus marveled at their unbelief. You know, he just marveled at it. How can you have this right in front of you, and your hearts are that hard that you don't believe what's right here? And he marveled at it. So he asked this question, if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Well, he said in the text in John chapter 8 that these individuals were not of God. And because they were not of God, they could not hear him. They could not understand him. Notice what John again writes. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, they are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the Spirit of truth and a spirit of error. Those who are of God listen to him. And sometimes in that listening, there's pain. They're seeing yourself for what you really are, and that's not often easy to do. But those who are his listen to his voice. But they were not able to listen, and as a result of that, they were working against the purposes of God for, amongst other things, their own lives. Why did Jesus come into this world? Well, we know he came to save sinners. But he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came as a prophet to tell them the truth, to save them from an impending judgment. And he wept over them, and he hurt over them. Why will you not believe me? So yes, Jesus spoke the truth. But they could not recognize the truth, nor the Father, nor anyone sent in the name of the Father speaking the truth. Because they wanted something else to be true. Jesus asked a question. He knows the hearts of men. He knew what was in man. But he's marveling in my way of thinking about it. If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Now, this was not an intellectual problem. These individuals were not mentally impaired, as we would think of it. It was not an intellectual problem, it was a spiritual problem. And so we ask, why is it that sometimes we Christians don't believe what God has said through his Son and through his apostles, and find ourselves in the snare of the devil, habitually doing things that belie our desire to live godly and contented lives? Why is that? Well, that's one of those complex questions from one way of looking at it. You know, often we Christians, and I know this by experience, often we Christians don't believe what God says about what it takes to have such a life.
Okay.
Sometimes our teaching, we could have studies that give us lots of valuable head knowledge, but leave us starving for heart understanding, that they may see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. And I look at understanding in the Bible, and I see at least a couple of instances where understanding is linked to knowing what to do. Men who understood the times and knew what they should do. You see? And so sometimes we're given lots of facts. And diagrams. And lists of things to remember. But what do I do with this stuff? You know? See, because it's like, okay, we want you to be part of this group because this group's going to heaven, so you need to be part of this group, and these are the rules for this group. Now, memorize those rules, and then drop all the baggage that you came here with, and act like it didn't happen. And if it manifests itself, because it did happen, and you did come to Christ with stuff, sometimes we just wonder, well, we need to withdraw from you. You're not coming to services like you should. Surface. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes we are so familiar. I'm really thinking about this one these days. We're so familiar with certain words in the Bible that they cease to lose their awesomeness. I mean, we read. I mean, look, we don't have time, but you know what I'm getting at. There are things in there, if you just read them and take them for what they say, they should blow your mind up. You know? Really. And we get so accustomed to certain words and events in the Bible that they just lose that cutting edge awesomeness. And we're not in awe. And so sometimes we Christians don't believe right in front of us. And sometimes, and maybe I've slightly touched on this already, but sometimes we just ignore it, ignore the Bible, take it lightly, it's not a big deal. And I've got to deal with that in my life, and you deal with that in your life. But what if, okay, somebody give me a signal. If I look like I'm like really into this thing and like time is about out, somebody just you know, do like that, okay, and I'll wrap it up. Seriously, because I'm just preaching now. I can't help it. Okay. But what if people who won't believe would believe when Jesus speaks the truth? Second Thessalonians 2, in verse 13, Paul writes, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification and the Spirit by the Spirit and faith in the truth." Man, that's powerful. Faith. Oh boy. Okay. Let me see what I got up here next. There you go. The power of faith in the truth. There's a passage. This one's in Luke 18. We have the parable of the minas, the parable of the talents. Any one of these where you have the one talent or one mina individual. And I picked the Luke 18 and the parable of the minas because the one who had the one mina said to the master when he came back, you know, I was afraid of you. Because I knew you were an exacting man who took up where you didn't lay down and reap where you didn't sow. So he didn't do anything with what he was given because he was afraid. And then we have passages like Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're at peace with God. We're serving God. Let me ask you something. These are questions if you've been a Christian, well, you know the answer to them. But let me ask you something. Why did Abraham and Jacob lie about their wives? Why did King Saul, go and consult a medium in time of war against the command of God? Why did Elijah, spirit and power of Elijah, why did he run from Jezebel and hide? Why do we run to alcohol and drugs and sex and food and gambling and sleep and television and the internet and pornography and video games and sports and exercise and all these things we've been talking about under the umbrella of addictive behavior? Why do we run to those things? Well, before we answer that question, let me ask you another series of questions. Why did Abraham and Sarah have a child in their old age? Why did Noah build an ark in the midst of a people who did not accept his preaching, did not trust in God? You know, and sometimes we say, well, amongst the people who had never seen rain, well, you know, they probably didn't know what that thing was for anyway he was building. But then maybe they did. Maybe he was warning them and saying, you better get yourselves right with God because something that you can't conceive of is going to happen. Why did Joseph tell the people of Israel not to leave his bones in Egypt even though they were captive slaves at the time? Why did David defy a giant with five slings and a stone? Five stones and a sling. Why did he do that? See, it's the difference between faith and fear. And we've been talking about that, haven't we? Concentrating on God and what he says and what he promises and what he can do and what he will do. How to tap into that. You see, faith and fear are really opposites. You know, some of you might say, well, the opposite of faith is unbelief. Uh-uh. The opposite of faith is fear. They come from opposite sources. They motivate to opposite actions. They always bring opposite results. You see, attitudes or thoughts always generate emotions, and emotions generate actions. And so we can say that action is the offspring of faith. Sin is the offspring of lust. Fear is the offspring of doubt. So here we are in this world. You come to Christ from wherever you come, wherever you're coming from. You come to Christ. You're baptized into Christ. You come out of that water. And the Lord does not call us into a monastery to shield us from all temptation. He does not withdraw us from life, but allows us to stay in this world where we continue to be pulled sometimes in the wrong direction. Is there anybody in this room not affected by being pulled in the wrong direction? Give me some of what you're drinking. In this world, we deal with a lot of pressures. So that a man like the Apostle Paul, as he personified sin in Romans 7, has to come down to it and say, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death?" Have you ever had to cry that cry? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, if you listen to the truth when he tells you the truth. But the truth is, as we boil this thing down, that all things are possible with God. So the question then, as we begin our descent into the Seattle area, what's so valuable about truth? See, I'm doing it again. I'm sorry. Whatever is impossible with men is possible with God. So what's so valuable about truth? Is truth valuable so that you can get it and say you have it and congratulate yourself? No. What's so valuable about truth? You see, the thing about truth is that if you know truth and act upon it, listen, it enables you to deal with reality successfully. If your life is informed by truth, and you are able to, if you have the knowledge to hold it steady and rely upon it, then whatever your good desires are, you can meet those desires, you can realize those desires with success. It's like sighting the mechanism on a gun. If it's right, you can hit what you're aiming at. And I believe this is what Jesus was getting at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he talked about building your house on the rock or on the sand. Building it on truth or building it on error. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it either stood or it fell, depending on whether it was built on a rock, on truth, on that which does not change. Truth always has been true, is true, and always will be true. And there is nothing that is ever going to come along to change truth. Falsehood, on the other hand, house of cards, house built on the sand, and it will fall. And so, truth is important to gain. Buy truth and sell it not. It's important to gain because it enables us to successfully deal with reality. Falsehood is important to avoid because it's going to hurt us. And especially with reference to the things that really matter in life, it's going to hurt us. So this has been our effort during this weekend to present truth. Everything fits into this bag of truth. And if we will listen to it, if we will put our faith in the truth, whether it has to do with addictive behavior or any other thing that God deals with, we will hit the target. And that's what we want. And that's what God wants for each one of us. Should there be anyone in our midst tonight that is not a Christian, Jesus said very clearly that he who would come to the Father, okay, must go through him. His arms are open wide. If you have been here with us this weekend and you know that some changes are needed in your life, if you're a Christian, then dedicate yourself to making those changes. And if you're not a Christian, you are invited to sit down with us and open the Word of God and see where you fit in his plan as together we stand and sing our